over there. All right. Let's ask the Lord to bless this offering as these younger ones come around. Father, thank you so much for this day. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of giving. It is a gift, Lord, to be able to take what you've already given to us and return it to you, knowing that you can use it and will use it in infinitely more impactful way than we could. So Lord, please receive this offering and apply it to your kingdom in the way that you see fit. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Make sure you get everybody, not just your favorites. You know? Okay? If you've got a Bible, and I hope you do, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. God used me. God used this person. God is doing this. God is the God who provides. He's the God who heals. He's the God who brings together. He's the God who saves and rescues and uses people and situations. You know, in each one of these, God is using people to do His glorious will. And when we come to 1 Corinthians, we meet a church that probably greater than any other church in the New Testament had problems, but also a church that probably greater than any other church in the New Testament had potential for kingdom impact. Pride, intellectual pride, ethnic and economic divisions within the church at Corinth, sexual perversion, all kinds of things were trying to tear that church apart and to destroy that church's witness. Hence the occasion for Paul writing to this church that he loved. Stop. Repent. Look at what you're doing and remember who it is that you claim to serve and claim to love, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and begin to live for Him. This is essentially the thrust of 1 Corinthians. And then we see in 2 Corinthians later on the result of that, when the church in fact did repent. The church in fact did begin to restore and to move forward in purity. We come to chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, and Paul he's begun to critique their lifestyle, critique the things that they're permitting, the things that they're celebrating in their fellowship, the sins, the lifestyle choices. And he comes to chapter 12 having just taught them and rebuked them about their twisting and abuse of the Lord's Supper in chapter 11, and how some people even before that used to eat food that had been offered to idols. And he comes to chapter 12, and he is reminding now these Christians, you all have gifts. If you are in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you have gifts with which He intends you to serve the larger body. And so I'm going to read the whole chapter today, and then we're going to take a little bit of time and kind of walk through this as we again, consider and continue to understand biblical servanthood. So Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of deaconing, service. That's that word, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Did you hear that? Let me read that verse again. to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker, listen closely, are indispensable. That is so important. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The rhetorical question has an answer, and that's no. But, he says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. So I gave you just a little bit of context leading up to chapter 12. And for just a little bit of context on the following end of chapter 12 is, of course, 1 Corinthians 13. That more excellent way is love. Everything in the body of Christ must be done with love. Every gift must be used in love. In love for the Lord, whose body we are, and in love for the different members of that body. In love. Paul goes on to say, if I have the best and the most gifts of anyone, and yet I don't have love, none of it matters. None of it matters. I'm just a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. He says it right there at the beginning of the chapter. I usually get here on Sunday mornings around 6. I like to just come in early, and I've told you that before. I like to come in and just kind of collect my thoughts and start doing a few knickknacks and things to begin. Eases me into the day. I got here just a little bit extra early today. It was probably a quarter till 6, and came in. Of course, it was dark. Sat down, started doing some things, and was looking over our psalm for the day. Psalm 4. And I got to the last verse of Psalm 4. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you, O Lord, alone make me dwell in safety. And I just was sitting there in this dark room with my coat on, just warm. I am tired. Lord, I am just tired. I need a power nap. And so I took one. I went back to the nursery, John and Amy, and I pulled out that little green U-shaped pillow cushion, and I got that chair back there, and I laid down, and I put my head on that cushion, and I put my feet on that chair, and I set my clock on my alarm for 20 minutes. And I'm telling you, the refreshment that came to me from just stopping and pausing for a few minutes, just to close my eyes and just lie down and sleep in safety, was amazing. And then I got up, and I'm in the nursery, and I'm just looking around, and I'm back in the children's area, and I had already, before I took my power nap, I'd made a couple of laps just with my Bible and just praying kind of over the venue here and praying over the day and the service. And back in that room, I woke up. I don't know if I ever really fell asleep, but boy, I sure felt better. And here I am looking at this room that's been thoughtfully decorated and prepared, and everything is, and I tried to put everything back where it was. Hopefully I didn't leave a mess for you, but taken care of, things are organized. And then I walked through the preschool room, and things are organized where they're supposed to be. And then I turned on the lights and unlocked the door to the elementary room, and everything's where it's supposed to be, and the room is decorated. The rooms are ready for kids. And I'm just beginning to realize as I don't get me wrong, I realize it, but I just needed that to kind of wake up to that. How amazingly God uses people in our church to serve in ways that are unsung and underappreciated week in and week out. And it isn't just our folks who work in the children's and serve in the children's areas. It's Carlos and Jeremy, who arrived at 7:45. Jeremy was early, had to text me, "Hey, got here a little early, can come and unlock the door." And so I came, and here they are. They're ready to serve. And, you know, and I don't call out their names, or John or Amy or Martha, the preschool leaders, or Cindy or Deborah. You know, I'm not calling you out to puff you up, but I'm just wanting to affirm people who serve, and Joe and Paula and Kyle and Greg, who teach our children, our youth, and our adult classes. And guys, I just am thankful. And these are really just scratching the surface. I mean, Paul talks in 1 Corinthians about the teaching gifts, you know, gifts of teaching. But there's gifts of just caring, of just tender care for people that are, I believe, immense in this church family. Concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, Paul doesn't want us to be uninformed. Guess what, church? Guess what, Corinthians, Paul says? You've all got them. If you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got some gifts. I don't want you to be uninformed. You all used to be pagans. Is that true of anyone here today? We all used to be pagans. We all used to go worshiping dumb idols, whatever name you want to put on them. But now, in Christ, having heard the gospel and having been born again, we have the Spirit. And because we have the Spirit, we have gifts. We have abilities. We have capacities with which to serve and to bless and to minister to the needs of the whole body. Therefore, I want you to understand, no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. Can't do it. Holy Spirit of God won't allow it. And no one can say Jesus is Lord. Yeah, okay, sure, anybody can mouth those words, but no one can say it with faith and mean it and it be true of their soul that Jesus is the Lord of their life apart from the presence of the Holy Spirit enabling them. So if you're here and you profess Jesus as Lord, guess what? You've got the Holy Spirit. And if you've got the Holy Spirit, you have a gift. And Paul says there are varieties of gifts, all different kinds of them. I'm convinced that this isn't an exhaustive list of gifts. I don't think you can exhaust the list of gifts. But Paul gives us some examples of gifts. Some of the more prominent ones: prophecy, teaching, expounding God's word, working miracles, gifts of healing, and down at the bottom, gifts of tongues. And then he says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. So does that mean we should all desire to be apostles? Does that mean we should all desire to be prophets or pastors or teachers or traveling evangelists? I don't believe that's what Paul is meaning. What I believe he means by earnestly desire the higher gifts is to earnestly desire greater gifting, whatever that might be. Is to live your life trusting Jesus such that we earnestly desire from His Spirit greater capacity, greater gifting with which to minister to His body. And as we minister to the body of Christ, a witness emanates out to the world through that. As we care for one another, as we serve one another and teach one another within the body of Christ, as we look out for one another, there's a witness that goes out to the world about what we're like, about what Jesus is like, because we are His bodily representatives on this earth. And so Paul, by saying earnestly desire the higher gifts, he's not saying that any of these are necessarily better than any of the others. They're all needed. They're all useful. Every single one of them. The foot is just as important to the body and necessary for the body as the eye. And so on and so forth. God doesn't create spare parts, useless parts. Every part of our human bodies is important and has a function. And so it is with the body of Christ. It's because someone doesn't serve, and this is kind of where we've been tracking the last couple of weeks. A couple of weeks ago, looking at Martha and the issue that Jesus had to address with her, you know, over her bitterness and her jealousy because she was serving in one particular way and Mary was serving Jesus in another way. She had to be shown that it wasn't about comparing and competing. It's about serving with gladness and joy in whatever way you're gifted to serve. So we come again now to the church at Corinth, a church that was full of pride, a church that was full of comparing and competing and one-upmanship. And Paul has to say to them, it's not about that. Every part matters. Every part matters. And the attitude of every Christian ought to be, Lord, help me to use my part in greater and greater ways. Help me to make my contribution to your body in greater and greater ways, with greater and greater impact. Does that mean that we're stuck when we're saved and converted and born again, that we have one gift and that's it, and that's all we're ever going to have, and that's the only way that we're ever going to be able to serve? No. We can grow into gifts. We can learn new things. We can attain new skills and new abilities. We can develop talents. But our prayer, the baseline starting point prayer that we ought to be praying all the time is, Lord, use my gifts. Help me to spend my gifts, the gifts that you've given me, and the gifts that you might give me at some point in the future, in the most impactful, greatest, highest way possible for the betterment of your people, for the betterment, the enhancement, the strengthening of your body. And that's the big idea today. If you want to just go ahead and fill it in, the Spirit gives each Christian, gifts each Christian to strengthen the church. And we do this best when we earnestly desire greater gifting. Not greater gifts, but greater gifting. Earnestly desire greater gifting. There are so many openings within chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians that, you know, pathways that we could go down. Some of you may be wondering, well, I hope Darren chases this whole tongues thing a little bit further and prophecy. I really want to hear what he has to say, but I'm not going to go there, okay? I can tell you this on that point, though, that in chapter 13, Paul says, when the perfect comes, prophecies will cease. Tongues, they will cease. Prophecies, they will pass away. As for knowledge, it will pass away. In other words, Paul is writing Scripture here. The Bible isn't finished yet. He's finishing it. And until it's finished, being written by the apostles, God's authorized human mediators of Scripture, there are going to be things that are revealed to the church. And that once the canon of Scripture is closed, all the revelation we need is going to be right here. And therefore, every word of wisdom or knowledge must at that point then be passed through Scripture. It must pass the Scripture test. Does it line up with the Word of God? If there are tongues being spoken, there must be an interpretation, and that interpretation must be in accordance with God's Word. As the gospel goes forward around the world, I still believe that there are occasions, and I've heard missionaries share about occasions where non-believing, non-Christian people who do not have a Bible in their language have heard missionaries speaking in their language who were not talking in their language. But it passed the test. If it is a true word from God, it will pass this test. It will be fully in accordance with Scripture. And I believe that's true of any and every gift that we use. Any way in which we propose to serve the body of Christ, it's got to be in accordance with the Word of God. We can't go out serving people with resources that we've borrowed from work. Okay? Some of you work in warehouses where there's lots of stuff laying around. Some of you work in offices where there's lots of office materials laying around. Maybe it just seems like it's okay to kind of take a few extra with which you might serve the body or put together material at church or something. Don't do that. Okay? That's just kind of a rough example. But if we're going to serve people in an administrative way, we better make sure we're doing it in an honest way, in a way that accords with the Scripture. Part of the message today was the testimony time at the beginning, giving us an example to hear from other voices than mine, the ways in which God has been using us, some of the ways in which God has been opening up opportunities for us to share our faith with soldiers, with people that we work with family members who are sick or ill, with those who are wayward. Guys, unless we're functioning in this way towards one another in the body of Christ, that witness to the world is going to be weak. It's going to be weaker. And so this chapter in 1 Corinthians is to us. It's a reminder to us. Use your gift. Use it to the full and earnestly desire greater usefulness in the kingdom of God. That's my exhortation, because that's Paul's exhortation to us today. Let's go home today and let's spend some time this afternoon and this week really thinking and asking God in our time with Him, Lord, in what way am I gifted? I see how I'm being used right now. Is there some other way, some additional way that you want to use me to be a blessing and to strengthen your body so that our collective witness in the world can be enhanced? And let's pray that we're open to that, that His Spirit would make us compliant to that desire. Let's pray. Father, I give You praise and I thank You for this time to be together. I thank You that we were able to hear from some of our members, some of the members of Your body, ways in which we're being used, ways in which You're sending us into the world with a message of encouragement, a message of hope, a message of healing. And Lord, I pray that we will each just take some time to spend with You, to just review the ways in which You've gifted us, and to ask You if there's anything You want to update in terms of our gifting and our serving in the body of Christ, and to say to You, Lord, we're willing. We're willing. Whether we're a hand or a toe, whether we're an eye or an ear, Lord, let us be thankful for the gift that You've given us with which to serve the body, and not be jealous, not be envious towards other believers, because there is a variety of gifts and yet one Spirit. There are a variety of ways to deacon and to serve this church, to serve the kingdom, but there is one Lord. We serve You, Jesus. And so I pray You would guide us. I pray You would grow us. It's in Your name I pray. Amen.